Tonight we return to Leviticus chapter 8, where the consecration of the first high priest and the first team of priests is underway. Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at a considerable chunk of Leviticus chapter 8, in which Moses describes for us the process of sacrifices that goes hand in hand with the ordination, the consecration of those priests. We come to the end of that, and it sure sounds like it's been a busy day. And then we discover that that process is to be repeated over a period of 7 days. Moses describes it for us. We're going to read Leviticus chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Listen, here's God's word. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded." And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. And so we have the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who has power and authority to command. And we thank you that where we find ourselves unable, you give grace. And so, our Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that you might work through your word. We know that you call dead sinners to awake to newness of life. And Father, to us that seems impossible. And yet you cause it to happen. We thank you, our Father, that you command us as your people to have done with sin, and we struggle with sin, and it seems so many times we struggle in vain, and yet we have confidence, our Father, that there is victory to be found in the Lord Jesus, and those struggles with sin will in the end be over, and in Jesus Christ we will be victorious. We pray, Father, that as we wrestle with doubts that might seem to us to be unable to be vanquished or dispelled, we ask that your word of command might still the turbulence of our doubts, the turbulence of our circumstances, and that we might rest in Jesus. So, Father, we come recognizing your word to be powerful and authoritative, accomplishing your purpose, and praying that it would indeed accomplish your gracious purpose tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After all the instructions that we read, the process of ordination that was described to us in those previous verses, surely Aaron and his sons are ready to get to work as the first priests serving in the newly constructed and freshly furnished tabernacle. And we discover, not so fast, Aaron and his sons have 7 more days before they can take up the work to which they have been called by God. There are 7 days of preparation, 7 days to the ordination. We thought it was going to be done in a day, but we discover that it's going to take 7 days for those priests to be properly consecrated, properly ordained, properly set apart for the work to which God has called them, laboring in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting, in the presence of God. And as our hearts sink at the prospect of that extended period of preparation, the remarkable thing as Moses describes for us, just how that's to be carried out, Moses pictures for us those fledgling priests camped out on God's doorstep. Because this process of ordination, this 7-day process of preparation of these priests. It takes place at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If you can visualize the courtyard of the tabernacle, and the Aaron and his sons are there camped out in that courtyard, not yet able, not yet ready to go into the tent, but rather on the very doorstep of it. If you can perhaps imagine, boys and girls, if you can imagine having a picnic on the front yard of your neighbor's house, if you can imagine camping there for 7 days, you get some sense of what's going on in these verses as Moses gives them to us. For 7 days, Aaron and his four sons are camped out on God's doorstep as they are prepared to take up their work as priests. And let me just think with you about the implications of those 7 days spent on God's property, on the threshold of God's tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Those were 7 days of preparation. We're surprised that they're not yet ready for the work that God has called them to. He's called them to be priests. We heard described for us the elaborate ritual that they'd gone through. We think surely that's the end of it. But no, verse 33, "You shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you." God's process of ordination takes 7 days. We want to charge on ahead. We want to get cracking. We want to get down to work. But God teaches us that as He works in the lives of His people, God takes His time to prepare His people for the service to which He calls us. So we'd love to engage in all kinds of elaborate service and occupy important positions, but God calls His people to a process of preparation. And maybe sometimes as God's people, we need to be a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more reflective. We need to take time to think about, well, as Paul puts it, the high calling to which he has called us. And for 7 days, Aaron and his sons camped out in the courtyard of the tabernacle have time to think about the work that God is calling them to, the work that's required of them. And it's good for us to reflect on that fact. It takes 7 days, says God, to ordain these priests. It took God 7 days to create the world. It takes him 7 days to see to it that these priests are properly prepared. 7 days, of course, seven, a perfect number. It takes just the right amount of time for them to be prepared. Brothers and sisters, it takes God just the right amount of time to prepare us for service. God works in the lives of His people. We don't run before we can walk. God teaches us. God brings His people toward maturation. You might think of the process of sanctification. Our justification is an act. Immediately as we trust in the Lord Jesus, we are justified. We have new life. But then God works in us. And that sanctifying process, that process by which God prepares us for service and indeed for greater responsibilities in service, that's a process that takes time. Those who are faithful in the little learn and are prepared and become equipped and grow in maturity to the point where they're able to assume greater responsibilities. And we see that process taking place pictured for us. These priests camped out as they undergo that process of preparation. And it takes place in the presence of God. It's taking place in the courtyard of the tabernacle. It's in the presence of God. As you grow in grace, God is present with you. God works in the lives of His people. And you'll remember how Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 describes the New Covenant ministry, in the Old Testament there was, as it were, a veil that obscured the things of God from God's Old Testament people. Now that veil has been removed. Now we see clearly what was seen in the Old Testament as through a glass darkly. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we with unveiled faces beholding God are being changed from one degree of glory into another. This is the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians as we fellowship with Jesus, as we live our lives in fellowship with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. We are transformed, we are prepared, we are equipped, we grow in maturity, and we are equipped for the ways in which the Lord has ahead for us to be serving Him. We saw last Lord's Day evening how the ordination offering was an offering that was offered by these fledgling priests, but we heard how Moses would take the material to be offered. He would put it in the hands of those priests, and we learned last Lord's Day that the idea of ordination in the Old Testament is the idea of having one's hands filled, and here are these priests, and into their hands is placed the things that they are then to offer to God. And we saw how that idea of filling is an idea that comes over into the Greek New Testament, the idea of perfecting, being made perfect in the New Testament sense, as it's used often in the New Testament, the idea of being mature. We grow in maturity as we camp out, as it were, in the presence of God serve Him. We hear the instruction given to Aaron and his sons. If you leave the forecourt of the tabernacle during that seven-day period, you will die. They're not going to go anywhere. They are committed to the task, and they're committed to seeing through this seven-day process of preparation and consecration. Of course, that's God works in our lives over a period of time. That's why James says, "Count it joy when you experience trials, because those trials, God uses them to grow us in steadfastness." And then James goes on in James 1, verse 4, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Those trials that we go through, those testing experiences, they mature us, they equip us, they make us more like the Lord Jesus. And then during that time of preparation, during those 7 days, that process of reflection, maturation, process spent, a time spent near the presence of God, those days were not just days of preparation, they were days of provision. Abundant provision. Aaron and his sons' time had not yet come. They had to wait outside the tabernacle. They're at the entrance to the tent of meeting, but they're going to be invited in as God's guests. They're going to be brought in at the end of that process in order to serve in the tabernacle. And while they're in God's courtyard, God sees to it that they are provided for. There's food provided for them. And day by day, they get to share in the offering, that ordination offering. It's repeated day after day, and they eat of it. They dwell. You think of the psalmist, the 23rd Psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here they are as these Levites who have been set aside for the priesthood, here they are in God's courtyard, and as it were, they're being fed from God's table. Moses, as God's representative, placed bread and meat in their hands, and they ate. And they ate well, because meat was a delicacy. You didn't tend to eat meat very often in those days, in that kind of situation. Day by day, they ate not just bread, they ate meat as well. They feasted in the presence of God. We feast in our call to worship. We were reminded of how we feast of the good things of the house of our God. And Leviticus 8, verse 28 talks about that. Day by day, the sacrifice was offered on the, day by day, they were burned on the altar. This was an ordination offering pleasing, with an aroma that was pleasing, a food offering to the Lord. They're eating from the Lord's table. The sacrifice that's offered on the altar is a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. These priests in training get a portion of that. in a sense, they're sharing a meal with God as their gracious host. God is the host who abundantly provides for his servants. A sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God, that nourishes his servants while they wait for their perfection, the perfection of their training, as it were. God feeds us. The sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God is not a sacrifice of bulls or goats or rams. The sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice that's without blemish, the sacrifice that pleases God, of which God approves. And God gives us of that pleasing sacrifice. He gives us the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." As we live our lives in the presence of God, God feeds us richly of his grace. And remember, grace is not some magical substance. Grace is personified in the Lord Jesus. As we receive God's grace, we receive the Lord Jesus himself. We receive him by faith. He is the well-pleasing sacrifice offered to God, whom God then shares with us, so that we have life in him. We who are dead in trespasses and sins are raised to life in Jesus Christ, because God enables us by faith to participate in that well-pleasing sacrifice. So these servants of God, these priests, they're undergoing that extended period of preparation, of being matured for their calling. But during that time, they're being sustained, they're being well-fed, because God sees to it that they're nourished from his very own table. What a marvelous thing that is for us to reflect upon. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your grace and mercy. We thank you for Jesus the Savior, and we pray that as we turn from the Word to the sacrament, we ask, Lord, that having received your Word by faith and profited from it, that we might then receive the sacrament that you have provided by faith, and so our souls might be nourished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.